6, please. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to begin reading in verse 25, please. Matthew 6, verse 25, down to verse 34. All right, let's all stand, please. Matthew 6, verse 25. I'm going to do something this morning that I normally do not do. So before I do it, I'm going to explain why, if you don't mind. I have a policy that I never preach something that I cannot explain. Does that fair to you? I never preach something that I can't. By the way, friends, preaching, here's an outline. An outline is a logical path of the mind. First for the preacher, the pastor, and then for the people. Now, have you ever gotten directions from somebody, and when you got done, you thought, I need to get directions? So I am going to skip some verses, not because I don't understand them, but because, frankly, I haven't developed a logical, sequential path of explaining them. But I am going to explain them when we read. They're very simple, but I don't know how to put it in a sermon. So I'm going to do the conclusion, which is, for me, very easy. Does that make sense to everybody? Don't ever get up and speak on something you don't know what you're talking about or you can't explain it. Because that's when you get done and you look like Affleck Duck. You don't know what you said and no one else does. Verse 25. Verse 25 says this, therefore, which tells you, if you haven't got a handle on your attitude towards money, you're wasting your time this morning. Therefore, I say unto you, because of what he's already taught, the Lord Jesus, take no thought for your life. That, by the way, is a command. I'll say it again later. Take no thought can be translated, don't worry. Don't be anxious. Don't be distracted. Don't fret. Or how about this? Don't freak out. Does that work for you? All means the same things. So he says, don't freak out. Don't flip out. Don't fret. Don't worry. Don't be anxious for your life. What you shall eat or what you shall put on. That's a command, by the way. Nor yet for your body what you shall put on it. And then he asks a question, and this whole section is commands and questions. Is not the life more than meat or food, and the body more than raiment? And the answer is yes. Verse 26. Behold, the fowls are the birds of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Question, are you not much better than they? Verse 27. Another question. By the way, this is consists of commands and questions. Which of you, by taking thought or by worrying or fretting or freaking out or flipping out or getting your little duckies in a row, can add one cubit unto his stature? In some versions, and this is a very tricky idiom, literally it doesn't make a lot of sense, but it either means who thinks by worrying you can suddenly grow taller? Or, though this doesn't sound like it, trust me, in Greek, you can go either way. Or, who by flipping out thinks they can add one day to their life? And it ends up being the same thing. Look at me, friends. You can't add time to your life, and you can't grow taller because you want to. Doesn't really work that way. Verse 28. Then he asks, again, you notice commands and questions and comparisons. Why take you thought? Why are you flipping out? Consider the lilies, a command. Think about the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet, I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed or dressed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, meaning it, you know, burns up, dies, whatever, shall he not much more clothe you? What do you think? So if the God of the universe is interested in a little bird and in a flower that just grows up and disappears, do you think maybe he might be interested in you? Oh, ye of... Therefore, this is the conclusion of the previous section and the transition verse to the next section. It's all connected about worrying, fretting, flipping out. Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or, Have you heard any of that in the last year? By the way, watch CNN News for one day. I would shoot myself and everybody I know. But that's the nature of news. You should know that. You should watch news recognizing they are trying to create drama. Because you're not watching if there's no drama. So let's read it again. Therefore, take no thought. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. Don't flip out. Don't freak out. Don't fret, saying, what shall we eat? Or look at me, folks. We have been in a pandemic, and I managed to gain weight. How is that? Man. Oh, Pastor, what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? And now, friends, we come to where I'm going to preach this morning. You got the drift of this, don't you? Commands to think, to look, to ask yourself questions. And then he gives four reasons why worrying isn't going to help you. And friends, they're related to four conjunctions. I know you know what a conjunction is. You will. Verse 32. The first word is a conjunction, the little word F-O-R. That is the Greek word gar, which is an explanatory word. For, I'm going to tell you why it's not real helpful to flip out. He says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Second conjunction, sadly not in the ESV. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Third conjunction, but. But, on the other hand, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things, you know, these things that you're panicking about? Shockingly, God will take care of those things. Verse 34. Fourth conjunction, two fors, one but, and a therefore. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil, not referring to moral evil, but natural evil. Tornadoes, hurricanes, pandemics, disease, cancer. You know all the things we flip out about? He said, guess what? For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We're going to talk about four reasons for not worrying this morning. Father, thank you for this time. May this be a profitable morning. I ask as we try to wrestle with a problem that some people live their life by, but all of us come into these problems. None of us can escape them because we all recognize after a certain point in time, bad news can happen tomorrow. Really bad news. How do we live a life without flipping out, freaking out, fretting, worrying? Father, help me to simply explain what the Lord Jesus said nearly 2,000 years ago. This I ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I do not know if what I'm going to say is the truth or not. In this sense, I don't think this actually happened one day. I think my memory is remembering what happened 100 times. And I'm compressing it into a story. But it happened so many times that it's the truth. On a Sunday, she came to me. Her head was down. She was shaking her head, which she oftentimes did. And she was very... Please look at me. What do you call worry? Is worry an okay sin? You know, there's bad, bad sins, and then there's pretty bad sins, and then there's the stuff that, you know, nobody... By the way, we don't really care about worry, do we? Well, she came to me flipping out. She said, "Pastor Warren, I'm not sure I'll be at work this week on Tuesday." She said, "Pastor, the weather report says we're going to have a major winter storm." And when she said that, I don't really watch the weather much. Occasionally, I check it on my phone. Does anybody know why? Actually, it's not because it changes. What's the purpose of weather in Chicago? To get you to watch the news. So they're always going to give you some kind of worst-case scenario to get you to go, I got to watch, stick right here with Channel 5, stay here with Channel 7, you won't miss a minute. Do you not know they're selling you a product? Well, she was flipping out, and I remember I had watched the news at 10 o'clock on Saturday night, and they said in those days in St. Louis, we might get a dusting. And I thought, where did the winter storm come from? She was flipping out, freaking out, nervous. You know, she said, I saw the weather report, and there's going to be a major storm, and this was on Sunday. I don't know if I'll be able to make it Tuesday, and I'm thinking, did I miss something? Did I hear something wrong? And then it happened again and again and again for the 8 years I pastored in St. Louis. Please look at me. For 8 years, every time it was going to rain, we were going to have a hurricane in St. Louis. Every time it snowed, we were going to have a blizzard. Every time the wind blew, it was going to be a tornado. Every time it got cold, it was going to be an Arctic blast. What's that new word they invented? What is that? Polar vortex. Do you understand what that's trying to do to you? No, Pastor, I don't get it. The whole point is to get you to be this way so you stick with the news and they sell you products. Well, friends, the forecast in St. Louis, I haven't hardly ever said it here. I started saying, oh, by the way, I never did any good for this lady ever. I never, ever, ever helped her with her worry. Because for her, the forecast was a worry cast. It was not a reason for reasonable preparation, but it was a reason for halting life. Because worry consumed her. Now, so everybody gets mad at me equally, let's fast forward 30 years. Stacy is now 74 years old. And I am, well, somewhat less than that. May I say this? I now have more reasons to worry than I ever had before. I have pastored this church. I'll be entering soon in the 26th year. And I have seen everything go wrong that can possibly go wrong with people. So what do we do with our worry? That's the real question this morning. 30 years of being a pastor, growing somewhat older myself, and I'm saying this kindly, lots of bad stuff has happened in those years. 8 years in St. Louis, 2 years before that, I'm coming into the 26th year here. Lots of stuff happens, and I'm going to say this, and we're going to look at text. Please look at me. Now I'm going to tell you the bad news. It's not that bad things can happen to you. Bad things will happen to you. Not evil morally, just simply this, life. Do you all recognize that? So what do we do about the flipping out? Let's look back at the text. I just want you to notice the King James words. The King James translates this, I think, in a good way. The downside is you can almost think, I shouldn't think about preparing for things. That's not what it's talking about. It's really, so in verse 25, it says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought, means really, don't be preoccupied. Verse 27, which of you by taking thought, same word, merimnao, it means, again, take no thought means don't let your mind go this way. Verse 28, and why take you thought for raiment? He asks a question. Verse 31, therefore take no thought. Verse 34, it's twice, it's six times in five verses. Therefore take no thought, or don't be preoccupied. Then he goes on to say, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. My friends, we're dealing with a concept. We can use the word worry. We can use the word be distracted. We can use the word be anxious. We can use the word being preoccupied in our mind, thinking. We can use the word fretting. We can use the word freaking out. Look at me. We could even say this. You're so debilitated by your mind and your worry that your life ceases. And here's what's sad. You will blame that on other people. I talked to a person outside this church in another state that said they have a family member that has not come out of their house since COVID began. So they have basically nearly, you all recognize it's almost a year now, they have basically ceased to exist. They don't talk to anybody, they don't see anybody. Can I ask you a question? If you get alone too much, do you get better or worse? Of course, because you worry more. Now, all I'm going to do this morning, friends, is I'm going to talk about four conjunctions. For, but, and therefore. Which are simply Jesus' reasons that we need to get beyond the worry life. Four conjunctions. Four reasons not to fret, freak out, flip out, worry, be distracted, become anxious, be preoccupied in our thinking. Look at verse 32. Let's look at the first reason that Jesus gives. And the first reason is, oh, it's powerful, but sadly, we can miss it. It says in Matthew 6:32, this is the first reason. It's the foreword. He's explaining why we should not be preoccupied or worry or distracted or fret. So he's telling us, why not? He says, for after all these things, food, drink, clothing, stuff. He says, for after all these things, do the Gentiles seek? That's his first reason. So number one, we don't flip out because that's how the Gentiles live. Did you get that? By the way, what's a Gentile? Yes, it is. But listen, step back, everybody. We have to actually deal with Scripture. Sorry. I'm not going to tell you funny stories. We're going to deal with the Bible. When the Bible mentions a Gentile in the New Testament, it has levels of meaning. It means primarily, frankly, someone that's not Jewish. But by implication, what Pastor Dada said, it means an unbeliever. So what is Jesus saying? He's saying, you need to stop being consumed by flipping out because, well, that's how the unsaved people live. That's not how believe. What are you doing? Why would you do this? That's how unsaved people live their life. Why do you think they have to get intoxicated with drugs, alcohol, gambling, and a whole bunch of things? Because they're nervous. And everybody knows if you get drunk, you're no longer nervous, right? Hey, it solves all your problems. When you wake up the next morning, all of your problems are gone away, miraculously. My friend, we don't fret, we don't worry, we don't freak out, we don't flip out, we don't become distracted, we don't hibernate in our little room. You say, why? Because that's how the Gentiles think. That's how people, Gentile could be neutral, meaning just someone that's of another ethnic group, because it's the Greek word ethne. But in this case, it's taking it a step further, saying that's how non-believers live their life. Turn your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 2. Would you please? I want us to look at two texts. Friends, the older I get, the more I realize how many of us are controlled by this. Hello? I will confess, when I pastored in St. Louis, the lady I'm referring to just irritated me to death because she was a wet blanket on everything. If you said, July 4th, we're going to have a picnic, look at me. Immediately, she's thinking, it's going to be too hot. If you said at Christmas time, we're going to have a party, oh, but I'm going to be tired, it's going to be snow. There was just, everything was a wet blanket because her life was controlled by fear and therefore worry. And Jesus is saying, why would you do this? This is like how the unsaved think. Is that what it says, yes or no? I don't think that's how a Christian thinks. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. This is one of the great passages on many angles. There are two words here that are just, D.R. Lloyd-Jones always would say, these two words tell you whether you're a Christian or not. But let's start in verse 11. He tells the Ephesian believers to remember, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. Again, Gentile, again, ethnic people. It's a different ethnicity, but he's not just referring to a different ethnicity. He's saying, you were an unsaved person who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Jewish people would say you were uncircumcised, which then meant you were unsaved in that era. Verse 12. And friend, here it is, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and worst of all, without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We sang about that this morning. Friends, please look at me. When I see a person dominated by worry and fear, I don't know, are you saved or are you not? You're acting like you have no hope and you are without God in the world. There is no place in the Bible that tells us you're going to become a Christian and never have a problem. The difference is, as John Wesley would say in the 1700s, and best of all, God is with us. We've been saved by God's grace. We've been adopted into God's family. We have been justified from all of our sins, past, present, and future. We're his child. He's with us. He holds us in his hands. And my friend, the Gentile, the person on the outside, of course they're nervous. Of course they're afraid. Their life has to be because they're without hope and without God in this world. But now in Christ Jesus, do you not recognize Christ makes all the difference? 1 Thessalonians 4, please. 1 Thessalonians 4. I just want you to see two texts that deal with this. Everybody knows this text. Friend, when I became a pastor, I know this sounds retarded. By the way, I joined the Navy and never thought about water. I honestly, folks, I joined the Navy in 1975, and I couldn't swim, and I never thought, you're in the Navy, you're supposed to be on a ship. Well, forgive me, when I became a pastor, I never thought about funerals. I don't know what I thought. My people in my church is going to live forever? But hear me, this text, I always read at funerals, and hear me, I've done many, many funerals, and you know what I always see? People that know Christ, it's all the difference in the world from people who don't. Why? Well, here it is. Paul says this, "But I would not have you to be ignorant." Remember, ignorant doesn't mean stupid. Ignorant means you just don't know. He says, "I don't want you to be a person that doesn't know the truth, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no what?" You say, "Pastor, why shouldn't we be freaking out all the time? We have a pandemic. The world is ending." My friend, we don't think like that because that's how unsaved people think. I have hope. You say, "What is your hope?" The election? Hear me. I didn't have much hope the previous election and don't have any hope this election. My hope is not in who's the president. My hope is in the Lord. How about you? Friends, that's our hope. You do a funeral as a pastor of unsaved people. Please hear me. My first year here, I did a funeral of a husband and wife that live right over, I can't remember what those places are called. Bambi, you guys used to live there. What's that called? What? The Gardens. You live there and you don't know the name. There was a couple. I do not know the couple. I don't think they ever visited this church. Somebody from this church visited them. The wife died and then the husband died. It was one of the worst funerals I've ever done. There was nobody there. The people that were there came drunk. Well, of course they came drunk because they have no hope. You say, "Pastor, how do you stop the worrying?" Do you not understand? If you've been saved, you now have that little thing called hope. And you don't just have hope, you have God in this world. We'll move on. I do understand why some Christians like to worry. I actually had a Christian almost say these words to me once. When it came to worrying, fretting, flipping out, it was like, "Pastor Warren, I don't drink, I don't gamble, I don't do drugs, I'm not immoral. I attend church occasionally, I give a little bit, I serve a little bit." And they said, "Pastor Warren, all I do is worry. That's not a big deal." Well, here's the big deal. Here's the big deal if you're a person that's always flipping out. You ruin everybody's life around you. Because every time anybody says anything, you have 400 no's of why you can't do it. That's how unsaved people live. We don't think like that because that's how unsaved people think. Let's look back. Matthew 6, 32, please. The second conjunction, also the word F-O-R, or gamma, alpha, rho, if you're reading Greek, gar. There's two reasons in one verse. We don't think like that because that's how unsaved people think. This is the other half. He says again, "Far. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things." We don't think like that because that's how unsaved people think. We don't think like that because that's not how a believer thinks. Just the other side of the coin. Can I ask you a question? Does your Heavenly Father care for you? Friend, we're going to do this. Sorry. This is called Scripture. Look back, if you would. Look at Matthew 5, verse 48. 5, verse 48. I want you to see in the Sermon on the Mount the repetition of something. You see, we don't think like this because that's how an unsaved person, a non-Christian, a non-believer, someone who doesn't know God and through Christ, who has no hope, we also don't do that because that's not how believers think. Believers think that we walk out into this world. Please look at me, and we're going to look at the text. We walk out into this world, and I am not alone. I have a Father that is in heaven. And that Father that is in heaven is the sovereign God of the universe, in control of all things. That's my Father. We're just going to read the highlights, friends. I'm not going to read every verse or every line. Matthew 5, 48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your what? Father, what? Which is in heaven. Matthew 6, verse 1, please. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 6, verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray you, our Father which art. Friends, over and over and over, it's trying to affirm and confirm to you that, my friend, why are you so nervous? Matthew 6, verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father. Matthew 6, 22, behold the fowls or the birds of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. So friend, the second reason that we're not preoccupied, flipping out, fretting, nervous, anxious, how about this? We don't stop living. Why? Well, friends, that's how unsaved people think. That's not how believers think. We know the Father. We have a Father. Do you have that Father? And by the way, that Father not only knows your needs, he cares about your needs. That's strange to me. I look around this room. What a weird family we are. You know, if I didn't believe the Bible, I think we're the weirdest group I've ever seen. But you know what's nice? We're all adopted into the same family from all over the world. And, you know, we all have the same Father. And that Father can take care of us. He said, do you ever worry? Yes, but not in the ways you think. I'm not going to say some things. I'm going to say this instead. Are you all ready? Ralph Warren was born April 23rd, 1957. And Ralph Warren will die someday apart from the rapture. Yes or no? I got that figured out. In between life and death, shockingly, by God's grace and a godly mother, which goes back generations, I found out later. Never thought about asking that question when I was a kid. I just assumed I went to church because mom took me to church. I got saved, humanly speaking, primarily because of a godly mother. Didn't realize, went up to grandma, great-grandma, great-great-grandma, great-great-great-grandma, and went back and even to North Carolina in the 1700s that I have records of. Baptist Christian mothers. But my friends, I'm going to die. But that mother in that little country church, I got saved in that church. So in between here and death day, or the Lord coming for me, I have a heavenly Father that looks after me. May I say this? I had a pretty good dad in the big picture. I was there 7 years ago plus when Dad died. Wasn't there at the moment. We were there the day before, and we got there right after he died. Friends, my big, strong, macho dad, I still remember. Everybody's, of course, broken up because Dad's gone. So the guy asked for help to take Dad's body out. I am a very thin person. Ann and I weigh almost the same. I don't know. You know what's sad? If you multiply Ann times three, I weigh more than that. That's terrible. Friends, we wrap my dad up in the sheets. And I could, look at me in the eyes, I could pick my dad up with one hand in the middle of the sheets. And you know what he looked like before, a few years before. But we're not talking about my earthly father. We're talking about my heavenly Father. Yes, I was born, I will die. By God's grace, he saved me, called me, adopted me into his family. Most of my life has been wonderful. There have been some disappointments. There have been some failures, both of mine and other people. I have both been hurt and hurt others, sadly. I am not getting younger. Was that an on-purpose cough? Yes, disease will catch up with me sooner or later. Most of my life is still wonderful. But hear me, that's not the reason. I'm not flipping out. Because something good's going to happen to you today. Actually, the reason I don't flip out is I have a Heavenly Father that knows what I need, has been taking care of me so far. I'm pretty sure he'll... Listen, here you are. You have trusted him to your eternal destiny, and you're flipping out because you don't know if you're going to... COVID. What? He's going to keep you forever. Wow. Yes, my life is still pretty wonderful. But best of all, I have a Savior. I want you to turn to John 14, please. We're going to read some verses in John. These are verses, friends, that you can memorize. These are verses you can meditate on. If you, and by the way, everybody at times in their life, regardless of who you are, I am not a worry person. Tim Kowak is not a worry person. Dada, have you ever worried? Not that I've ever noticed. No, wait a minute. That doesn't mean we don't occasionally have issues. But my friend, everybody has to come back to the scripture. John 14, 1. Would you look there? Jesus says to his disciples, let not your heart be what? Why do you tell people that? Because there's a good possibility people are going to be nervous. They're going to freak out. They're going to flip. I mean, he has to tell people, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Hey, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Not only he says, I go to prepare a place for you. I love that verse. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So the very worst thing that can happen is you go to be with him to the place that he has prepared for you. Wow. Verse 27. Peace I leave unto you, or with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass. When it come to pass, you might believe. Chapter 16, please. Chapter 16, verse 22. Is Josh Mogel here today? I'm going to talk bad about Josh in just a minute. Sonia, get ready. John 16:22. It says, and ye now therefore have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Verse 33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Last Sunday, some of our kids went back to college, and I don't know why, I never mentioned Josh, but I saw Josh right back in that area back there. And I saw Josh, put my arm around him, I said, what are you doing? He says, well, I'm not going back to college, back to the cornfields. I'm just going to stay local and do it online. And friends, and you can tell him I said this on you, he lied right in church. You say, how did he lie? He told me three or four reasons why he wasn't going back. It's easy to do it here. He can do it online. Cheaper. None of that bothered him. You know why he stayed here? Mom's cooking. Is that right, sister? Listen, you think you're going to get Sonia's cooking at a university? You tell me. Most food at university tastes somewhat like a mixture between too much salt and sandpaper and trying to eat it. Now, I tell you that story of Josh. He didn't really lie to me, though I'm pretty sure he's here because he likes mom's cooking. But may I say this to all of you? What are you nervous about? You have your Heavenly Father, which has taken care of the entire universe. Look at me. What exactly are you nervous about? That's not how Christians live. Why would you live that way? Well, Pastor, it's okay if I get nervous. No, that's how unsaved people live. That's how they think. Christians don't think that way. We have hope in this world. Let not your heart be troubled. You have God with you. If you're a believer, He's brought you into His family. The Holy Spirit indwells you, empowers you, enables you, helps you through life. What are you nervous about? All right, Matthew 6, verse 33. The third conjunction, are you getting the conjunctions? Gives you the reasons for, and but, which is a contrasting concept. Matthew 6, verse 33. We will have to read the first and last verses of the Sermon on the Mount after we read this. This text has a lot of application, but I'm going to only apply it to worry because that's what it's about. Hello? Yes or no? It's about flipping out. So look up here. Here's your first answer. Christians don't think this way because that's how unsaved people think. Christians don't think this way. We think differently. We think as a Christian, God is my Father, and He looks after me, and He takes care of me, and He knows what I need before I get there. There's a third reason. Let's read the verse. But seek ye first ye the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things, you know what the things we're talking about? Food, drink, clothing, and stuff. He's saying, if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all of these things, guess what's going to happen? Shall be added unto you. So I would say number three, we don't think this way because that's not how we get what we need. You don't get the things you need in life by that doesn't do anything. Why do we do it? Let me ask another question. Why do we allow other Christians to do it? Why are we flipping out all the time? Because that's not going to avail you anything. Because Jesus says, for, that's how the unsaved think, and for, that's not how Christians think, and but, I have given you a way of meeting your needs. You seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of those things that you're flipping out about will be added unto you. I think that's what the text says. Matthew 5, verse 1 and 2, please. We must address who the ye is. I taught this on a Wednesday night for a month or two. Man, has it been a year or two ago? I don't know. It's important to know who the ye in the text is. And the answer is it's two different groups. Matthew 5, verse 1 gives you the big ye. Find that text? It says, and seeing the multitudes, He, Jesus, went up into a mountain, and when he sat down, His disciples came unto Him, and He opened His mouth and taught them. Primarily, this text is speaking to believers. Yes or no? Matthew 7, verse 28, please. 7, verse 28. See, friend, when you read a passage, the first thing you want to know is who is it addressing? Primarily, the passage is addressing believers. And He's saying, listen, if you want to get your needs met, the way you meet them is not by trying to. I've said many times, I never heard as a kid this phrase, but trying to get your ducks in a row. Friend, there comes a time in your life you're not getting your ducks in a row. You're not even getting your ducks on your property. You don't even know where your ducks are. And Pastor Warren is not trying to tell you just to give up living. I'm telling you to get serious about this. That's the Lord doesn't want you, and somehow thinking that's what Christians do. So this text is addressed mainly to believers. But hear me, it also has application to unbelievers. Look at verse 28. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people, which is a Greek word that means the crowd, the multitude, were astonished at His doctrine. So friends, the Sermon on the Mount started out like this. Look up here. It started out like most of the people in this room were believers. We're having a church service, and people just kept coming. And then you had this mass of people. So the Sermon on the Mount has two poles. Primarily, it's given to believers, but it has a secondary application to the crowd. So what does it mean to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Well, it's according to who we're talking to. If we're talking to a believer, you're talking to a saved person, it simply means this. You and I must make, this is how we get the things that we need, food, drink, clothing, and all the stuff that we need to live a life. How do we get it? We, first of all, make as our first priority. It is before all things and above all things, God's kingdom. Meaning, I'm going to live out a kingdom life, a life that pleases the King. I'm going to live a life and I'm going to seek that out. And I am then going also to live out His righteousness in me, through me, and in my life. That's what's going to dominate my life. So instead of flipping out, I got something else I need to be after. The third conjunction is the but, different than that. I'm going to seek first His kingdom and the things of God. I'm going to seek to live out His righteousness in my life. That is going to dominate. By the way, friend, I have a key. I have several keys. That's a key to my office. How do you get the door unlocked? Look at me in the eyes. You could also drive your car through the door. Do you understand? There's more than one ways of trying to get what you want. And some people think the way to get what I need is I just need to worry myself to death. What's going to happen? No, God says, no. As a Christian, you seek His kingdom and you seek to apply the kingdom principles to your life. You seek to let His righteousness come through you. You seek to be a model for Christ. You seek to live out this Christian life. You tend to bring glory to God. And let me say this, and you're also looking ultimately for His coming kingdom, thy kingdom come, and that dominates your life. And through that process, guess what? God meets your needs. You say, what is that process? Please look at me, friend. That doesn't mean you don't work. Work is part of living as a kingdom Christian. All through from Genesis chapter 1, especially Genesis chapter 2, it automatically tells us we were put on earth to work. No, Genesis 1 tells us we were put on earth to work. Genesis 2 tells us we were put in the garden to dress it and keep it. Working is part of life. That's living out the Christian life. What we don't do is stop. There's another way. If you're not a believer in this room, you, look at me, no one's mad at you, no one's going to point you out, no one's going to make fun of you, but you need to seek to enter into the kingdom. You need to be born again. You need to be saved. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His what? You see, there's two different crowds. There's the already believers, and then there's the crowd that isn't a believer, and guess what they need to do? They need to start with, I need to be part of the kingdom, and I need whose righteousness? What does it say? But seek you first the kingdom of God and? You see, you got a problem, friend. You're going to worry. You're going to be a mess because you don't have His righteousness. You don't become a Christian until what? You take, I can't do it with this, but I will. Look at me, friend. Until you take off your filthy robe. You know what happens at salvation? Your dirty, filthy righteousness is put on Christ. And His robes of righteousness are put on you. And you stand complete in Him. But you need to seek first to be saved, to enter into the kingdom. And secondly, friend, His righteousness. And Christians, you never get away from His righteousness. Your only hope. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. I don't know how many years ago it was. I was teaching in the Philippines and going to teach in the Philippines. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, who knows? And as I was going to teach in the Philippines, I was in communication with this used to be young couple, but the husband's gotten very old. The wife's still young. Master Chief Cavalis. I talked to Cliff and Judy, and they asked me, why, I don't know maybe I talked to both of you. And they said, why don't you come to Japan for a couple of days while you're in the Philippines? And I did. You know, I went over, taught, and in between for, was it 3 days? Wasn't very long, wasn't nearly long enough. Cliff gave me a tour, and Judy. And it was, by the way, every piece of it was wonderful except one piece. I'm still bitter that he woke me up early one day. But other than that, it was wonderful, just fabulous. My first, by the way, 6 years in the Navy was my first time on a ship. While I was there, I wanted to get gifts. Pasalubong for you Filipinos. So I wanted to bring gifts home. I always do. But I thought, man, I don't get Filipino gifts. I can get a few Japanese gifts. So I got some weird stuff for my wife. Some of it very weird. I bought her a really, really, really good pair of scissors. What are they kind of, are they called, Jenny? They're scissors for the kitchen. They like cut through anything, meat or anything. Shearing scissors, I think they're called. She then threw them away. But anyhow, I don't, they got lost. But I bought Pastor Kowak. Did you all know he's weird? His mind is very strange. He is the most geometrical guy I've ever met. He likes puzzles. So remember, we were someplace, and I said, I got to get him. You were with me. I got to get him a puzzle box. Now, friends, here is Ralph Lauren's way of opening the puzzle box. Sledgehammer. I got him. I didn't get the best one because they're very expensive, but I got him a very nice one. He still got it up in his office. And on top of it, it was wrapped in plastic, and on top of it, it had the directions for dumb people like me. Because, you know, there are these puzzle wooden puzzles. You got to push this, pull this, all these weird things. For me, sledgehammer. I can't wait. No joke. I brought it into Tim's office. I showed it to him. I think I opened it up. I started to read the directions. Do you know he had the puzzle box solved before I could read the directions? I still hate him. You say, why did you tell me that story? My friends, you know why you're nervous? You're trying to get your needs met in a way that God didn't ordain. He never said, you know, if you want your needs met, what you need to do is every night, oh God, the world is ending. No! Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Live out this Christian life. Live as a citizen of the kingdom. Take these principles to bear. Work for a living. Do the normal things. And guess what? The God of heaven will meet your needs. May I say this? He's been doing it for me pretty well for 63 years. Or, wait a minute, you can take the sledgehammer and break the box. Pastor, I prefer worrying. It's so much more spiritual. Have you heard some people pray? Actually, they're not praying. They're just worrying. Go! It's like, what are you doing? Don't you know God? So here you are. Are you ready for conjunctions? Why don't we worry? Well, we don't think like that because that's how the unsaved people think. We don't think like that because Christians think differently. We don't think like that because that's not how we get what we need. God will meet our needs, but seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things that you need shall be added unto you. Make his kingdom, his righteousness first, above all things and before all things, and he'll have a way of meeting your needs. Or you can do it the old-fashioned way. Sledgehammer out. Worry yourself to death because COVID is going to get me. If COVID gets me, I hope the last thought in my life is, glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. How about you? That's the bad news. You go be with the Lord. We look at the last concept. Now, for all of you that are nervous, I hate the last concept. I hate it. I'm trying to adjust to it. Verse 34, please. Verse 34. It's the fourth conjunction. You got the conjunctions? For, but, and therefore. That's the fourth conjunction. He says, take, therefore, or therefore take, no thought for the morrow. For, he gives another four. There's actually a fifth conjunction, but this is all connected. Why not? For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil, meaning not moral evil, natural evil, death, disease, all the things that we face. He says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The fourth reason is this, friend. We don't think this way because, look at me in the eyes, this way of thinking doesn't change anything. Stress yourself out. Flip out. Freak out. Isolate. Hibernate. Run away. Go hide. Makes no difference. None of that will change tomorrow at all. Do you like that? Actually, I think that verse is more profound than the others. Do you know how much worrying is going to change your future? Now, I'll close by saying some things about me as a pastor. When I was young, I've already told you, I don't know why, but I never thought about funerals. I am not a controlling person. There are controlling people in this room of various kinds and various sorts. I'm kind of not that person. But friends, in a big picture, please hear me, this is what I want to control. I want to be able to look back there at Big Mac and Leticia and their three sons, and I'm just telling you all the truth so you know who I am. I want all of your children to get saved, all of your boys. I want all of them to follow the Lord. I want all of them to have a happy life. I want all of them to have a full life. And Leticia and Big Mac, I want the same thing for every other family in this room. Here's the problem. I can't control that. And I never worry about me. I mean, there's a few friends in this room knows what's going on in my life. Most of you don't. Very few people do, health-wise. You say, are you worried? Honestly, what is that going to change what's going on? How's that going to help me? Maybe I can freak out some more. Maybe I can, folks, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I mean, it is worrying, thinking. By the way, let me say it again. We don't think like that because thinking like that doesn't change the future. It doesn't change anything except drive you crazy. Would you read with me that passage again? Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. He's already said this really, friend, back up in verse 27. When he says, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? ESV, which is appropriate translation, though it sounds totally different, says, and which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to the span of his life? Friends, all the worry in the world, please look at me, all your little duck arranging, all of your, how many years ago was it? A young man visited our church. Started coming to our church regularly. I'll say more about him in the future in Sunday school. In my 63 years, he's still the most interesting person I've ever met. He was going to join our church on a Sunday. On a Friday or Saturday, he was here playing basketball. I don't know if it was without, you know, who was playing. Right over here, I believe it was, he went up for a shot. Somebody hit him. He thought he cracked his forearm. I don't remember which forearm. Cracked a bone. What did he do after that? He went to the doctor and wanted to get it fixed. They did an x-ray. Can you imagine? Look at the x-ray and realized immediately, this isn't a cracked bone. He has bone cancer. You could tell from the x-ray. That young man, Sam Labasi, or my name for him, Samwise Ganji, is the most interesting person. Please hear me. I love you. He is still the most interesting male I've ever met. And he was 23 or 24 years old. We all loved him that were here in those days. We still love him. We still miss him. I couldn't control one piece of that. He went through treatment and then had cancer. He went through, you know, when they do the bone marrow thing, and the doctor thought he was fine. He's been married 6 weeks. The week I leave for the Philippines on a Thursday, he and his wife, Betty, leave on a Friday to go to Kansas, Denver, I think it was, wasn't it? Just to, you know, take a little time and be alone. Folks, he flies right back. He's unconscious. Betty, I still remember when she told me. She said, Pastor, we were married 7 weeks, but only 6 of them was he awake. I couldn't control it. The Wednesday night you guys came to this church, I was at a hospital for one of the better men I've ever run into that got saved later in life, Rick Lavalette. Friends, I had no idea he would. Look at me! Do you get this? Why are you flipping out? What is that about? It isn't going to change anything. You walk forward because of what? Someone holds you in their hand. Someone bigger than you. Do you know him? I didn't ask if you were a religious Billy Baptist. I asked you, do you know him? And more importantly, does he know you? Because if that's true, this flipping out life is finished. It's finished. That's what pagans think like. That's not how Christians think. And that doesn't get the job done because Christians live differently. And all the worry in the world doesn't change tomorrow at all. Those are the 4 reasons Jesus gives for the end of your flipping out, freaking out, worrying, being consumed, preoccupied with stuff. Because frankly, all the stuff in the world can disappear. Who will never disappear is the God who saved you. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this great passage. I don't worry a lot about me, but it breaks my heart to see kids go stupid. And I just can't do anything. No matter how much I pray, preach, try to visit, try to call, try to do 1,000 things, nothing seems to help. Father, it all comes back to you. Are you our Heavenly Father? And you become our Heavenly Father not because of our family or our background or our ethnicity. You become our Heavenly Father at a point in time when you save us by your grace, adopt us into your family, when we freely come to you, turning from our sinfulness and wickedness to you and cling only to you. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Father, speak to those in this room who are unsaved, and for every Christian, isn't it time that we quit living like unsaved people? Help us to hear this morning, I ask, in Christ's name, amen.